What's up, everybody? It's Noah Daniels. We're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast.
And I'm JJ Crable.
And I'm Kat.
Awesome. We've got a very exciting episode today or tonight, depending on when you're listening to this.
Maybe it's 7 a.m.
Yeah.
I don't know your life.
This morning, who knows? Anytime you listen is a good time to listen. But we're joined today with a very first for Real Hauntings podcast. We've got a ghost hunter paranormal investigator. Are those accurate ways to describe what you do?
Sure. My name is Eric. I'm the team leader for War Party, the South team. Basically, War Party Paranormal. We cover all of South Florida. We have two teams. My team covers the Miami-Fort Lauderdale area.
And you guys, do you call yourselves ghost hunters?
I would say paranormal investigators.
Okay, cool.
We use a scientific approach.
And Eric, how did you get into paranormal investigating?
Well, I've been fascinated by the unknown and ghosts. It all started where I was just going on ghost hunts. You know, those little ghost tours that you go on. Went on a few of them up in St. Augustine, which is known for being one of the most haunted towns in the U.S.
I went on a St. Augustine ghost tour in high school, and I was so scared I listened to my headphones the whole time and music, and I didn't make eye contact with anyone. So that's where I was at that time.
I went on these tours, and I started getting like weird things that I couldn't explain. Like, you know, I would bring my camera and take pictures, and we were at the lighthouse at St. Augustine. I was getting some weird light anomalies. And then one day, down here in Miami, I went on a ghost tour at one of the most haunted places in Miami called the Deering Estate. After the ghost tour, I was talking to the director there. I was like, hey, you know, I would just like to go on one of your investigations. I'll do anything. I'll carry your equipment. I don't care. And before I knew it, I was on the team, and I was doing radio shows and TV, and been a really good ride. I was with my former team for about 5 years, and I joined War Party Paranormal the beginning of this year. Just put together a team about maybe 4 months ago, and you know, we've been really active. We have events down here that we do, ghost hunting events where people can come with us and investigate with us and see all the equipment that we use, and it's interactive, and you know, just like what you see in the shows, like ghost adventures and about ghost hunters that's back on TV.
And so was the group that you joined, was that something that you created yourself, or was that already established that you joined later after you gotten familiar with paranormal investigating?
Well, I have always been friends with the co-founders, Scotty Burns and Zap. They co-founded War Party Paranormal. And, you know, I was thinking about creating my own group, and Scotty approached me, asked me to join her team, and asked me if I wanted to start my own group under War Party for the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area. So, you know, I jumped on that because, you know, I got a lot of great support with them. Basically, what we're all about is just helping people.
Eric, you mentioned some of the really popular shows like Ghost Hunters. Would you say that those shows like accurately portray paranormal investigations, or are they kind of made for TV? For sure. And you mentioned that you have a scientific process for how you conduct these investigations. Can you go ahead and explain a little bit some of the science around what you do?
Yeah, we use various equipment. We also have mediums on our team that, you know, help us out. They get feelings about what's going on. You know, they all have different senses. Some see things, some can hear things. Mm-hmm. But we're more about the equipment, and it's always nice when you can get the two working together. When a medium senses something, then your equipment can validate that. But we use all kinds of equipment during our scientific approach.
What does the equipment tell you? What kind of equipment are you using? Does it, like, you know, how does the equipment indicate to you whether there's a ghost or not?
Well, we have various equipment. You know, we have cameras, or they're called full spectrum cameras. And what a full spectrum camera is, all colors of the prism of light that the human eye can't see. So sometimes you can get some anomalies. We also use meters that
And what is, would you say, through the equipment you have and you use, what is kind of the telltale sign to you, hey, there is something supernatural here with us right now?
I would say that the voice recorders give us the most concrete type of evidence because you're getting an actual response. Pretty much hard to go wrong with that.
I've seen where paranormal investigators will post on their social media or YouTube where they will literally ask questions in a room and then using, you know, some type of recorder, whether it's a Zoom or something of that nature, the ghost will speak to them and they're able to capture that on the recorder. Is that something that you all have experienced?
That's exactly what I'm talking about, the electronic voice phenomenon.
Yeah, I am like ready to hear a story, like one of your coolest like cases.
Well, right now we're having an event. It's called the World's Largest Ghost Hunt.
Oh, cool.
And basically, it's an interactive event. They've been doing it for a few years. And what it is it's paranormal teams from all over the world that investigate at the same time. Where we're doing this event is at a known haunted place called the Riddle House. There's a couple of stories. There was a man named Joseph that used to work on the cemetery that was accused of stealing. He was so upset that he went up to the third floor attic and hung himself there. His spirit still remains there and still haunts the place, and we've gotten evidence of that. Also, in the Riddle House, there's a children's room, and there was a boy named Andrew that had a tragic accident, fell out the window, and died. Ooh. And we've gotten EVPs of Andrew. And on top of the Riddle House, you know, there's other historical buildings there. There's a place called the Pineapple Processing Plant, and it was built in the late 1800s, and supposedly a Confederate soldier was shot and killed there, and the blood on the wooden floor still remains there. They've been trying to remove it, and it always seems to keep reappearing, and we've gotten evidence of an angry man there as well.
So the blood been able to remove the stain, and then the stain just comes back?
That's correct. That's what I've been told from the volunteers that work there.
And when you were there, did you see the stain?
I did. I saw the stain from the floor.
Wow.
Is that something that our listeners can go to your Instagram or your social media and see pictures of?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You won't be able to see the picture of the blood stain. I didn't take a picture, but I do have a couple of short videos that I posted where I'm doing an EVP session. This was a couple of weeks ago. I had a group inside the pineapple processing plant. And while we were inside, out on the outside porch, I have an ultrasonic motion sensor. And that sensor was going off, and there was no one out there. So I asked a question, is there anybody out there setting off my device? And I got a Class A EVP, which Class A means, you know, the clearest type of electronic voice phenomenon you would get. And I got clearly a response saying, get out. And then right after that, I had another clip where I'm showing with my group, I'm asking questions, and I'm asking, okay, so we're leaving now. Does that make you happy? And as clear as day, I got a response saying happy.
So with EVPs, you record and you ask your questions and you just kind of let the silence record for a while. And then you stop. After how much time do you usually stop?
Well, you want to give them time to respond. So I'll ask a question and then I'll still stay quiet for maybe up to 30 seconds.
We're recording this in Atlanta and you're in Florida. So I, similar environments. There's lots of critters everywhere. So how do you determine, like, you know, is that a ghost setting off this motion detector? Is this just like an animal outside?
It's kind of hard to tell there's an animal because, I mean, it's hard for it to be an animal just because of the location where it's at. There's not really any animals around. It'd be really rare for an animal to cross the porch, like right outside on the front door.
And so the motion sensor, does it like give you a pinpoint of where that motion's coming from? Or is it just kind of like it has a radius and within that radius, you know, it's somewhere?
Yeah. Motion is coming from.
And Eric, have you had any experiences that were so scary that you had to leave and kind of gather yourself before you could go back in and do more investigating?
I would say, like, the one time I was frightened was we also investigated an abandoned correctional facility that's out near West Palm Beach. And on that correctional facility, there's a prison. prison church there, a prison chapel. We have been investigating it multiple times. After a couple of weeks, we went back and we had noticed that there was some satanic worship going on in the church. And how we knew this was someone had went inside the church and spray painted all these symbolic things, you know, pentagram, triple six, and upside down cross, and some type of beast looking thing with horns, and they had candles all over the place, and they were burned, like some ritual was there. When I walked in there for the first time, we noticed that I could just feel like this heavy feeling, like, I don't know, like sort of like something was like pulling me down, but I also felt something like trying to pulsate out of me.
Wow.
We did do it, and then after that, we did a blessing and a cleansing of the church, and we had two mediums that were there, and while my co-founder, Scotty, while she was blessing the place, for some unknown reason, both the mediums started coughing, and the more she was blessing it, the harder they were coughing.
Wow.
It was really odd. And then after we finished that investigation, so she blessed me with holy water and cleansed me with sage, and I just felt this like feeling of like calm and lightness that I never felt before. So,
are you religious?
I am. I'm a Christian.
Does that inform a lot of your perspective when it comes to the supernatural?
I think so. I mean, I think when there's dark energies out there, you know, what I believe is that those dark energies feed off easy prey, people who are weak, people who are negative, and people who are suffering from depression. I feel like if you're like a strong person, you got a strong mind, and you're positive, and you have any type of faith, whether you're Christian, Buddha, Hindu, whatever, I think it's a lot harder for them to, you know, attach to you. I think they like to pray. I, you know, to me, I've experienced it. I think they're more like cowards, and they prey off the people that are easy to prey upon.
Yeah, I've heard that before. We had a medium on one of our episodes, and she mentions, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So when clients reach out to you, it's typically to, one, see if something's in the house, or maybe they're scared or they want it to leave. Can you explain that process? Like, why do people reach out to you guys?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's why what we're in this for. Basically, what we do is we help people who think something's going on in either their homes or their businesses. There's a whole process that we've used, and it's pretty structured. If someone reaches out to us and they think something's going on in their house, we have someone that is a designated client care person. And what that person does is, before we even go over there, they interview the person, trying to see what's going on, trying to see if they're suffering from any mental issues, maybe they use drugs, trying to get the facts first before we go over there.
Right, especially because with mental illness and bringing awareness to it, you know, some neurotransmitters are overproducing or underproducing, which can create like visualizations or hallucinations and that kind of thing, auditory or visual. So that's interesting that
exactly.
You guys go through that process.
Exactly.
So how often do you find that the cases are confirmed that there is a ghost in that house versus how often is it something like the electromagnetic frequencies or
drugs or mental,
you know,
health,
any of the above?
Right. The reason why I joined War Party Paranormal is because they're more into helping people. Probably done a handful of residential cases, and so far all of them, there's something that we determined that there was something there that was paranormal.
And since you've done so many of these investigations, have you ever felt like the presence of that spirit that you had an experience with followed you home? Or have you ever had instances just out in the world where you feel like all of this investigating has led to any kind of consequences with the paranormal?
Not for me. I just think it's just my personality, but I know other people it has.
People on your team?
Yeah, I had one teammate member that felt that he had something follow him home. It was actually from that prison chapel that I was telling you about.
Oh, wow.
He said some bad things were happening to him ever since then, and he thought it might have something to do with that. So he started staging his house, and he was doing it multiple days. And then after a while, you know, it all stopped. But he was convinced that it was something from that prison chapel.
Eric, why is sage something that like cleanses ghosts? I've always wondered.
Me too. I've had a couple of roommates that I come home and they've saged the whole house.
Yes.
Like, did I do something?
My roommate has saged my house before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more of a question to one of our
Okay, my question is, have you seen a ghost before?
The only thing I've seen, and I still, like, cause I'm very skeptical, and I'm like, what the heck was that, is I was investigating a lighthouse down in Miami, and I was in the keeper's house taking pictures, and in between taking pictures, I saw an orb of light with my own eyes,
mm-hmm.
and I thought maybe it was a reflection of something, or maybe my glasses, and I went to check, but my glasses were on my face, so...
They were on your face?
I still doubt it. No, they weren't. So, I don't know. I mean, I still doubt it, but that's, like, the most oddest thing I've ever seen with mm-hmm. my own eyes. Mostly, it's, like, hearing things.
I had an experience once where I was leaving a restaurant with a group of friends, and out of the corner of my eye, something just shot across. That felt, if I were to describe it, like an orb of light. So I don't know if it was like something with the lamppost, or I've had glitchy eye things before, but it was different. I don't really. Oh, it was just like a quick and light thing. That's all I can describe it as. And I'm the same way. I'm like, well, was that a thing? Or because I was living in a city at the time where I was surrounded by people who really, you know, would be like, oh, yeah, I see orbs all the time. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, that's the one thing I don't believe in is orbs by photograph. Because with a camera, there's so many things that can create an orb.
Mm-hmm.
It can be moisture. It can be dust. I mean, there's even a Sony camera where if you go to the instruction booklet and flip through the rear page, it describes exactly what an orb is.
We've interviewed a few people on this podcast who have like claimed to have really vividly seen a manifestation of a ghost, you know, said like as clear as day, there was this person sitting in this chair. What do you think of those kind of sightings? Because you've, you know, apparently been to many haunted places. Do you think, you know, and it sounds like your experience has not lend itself to like seeing clear apparitions.
That's what I've been searched for. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for that. I've seen shadow figures at a cemetery, but I'm still like doubting myself. Like, oh, that could have been something else.
Right.
But like, I've never seen a full-on apparition. Like that would be my ultimate thing. I still experience something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard footsteps. I've seen doors open, but no full body apparition.
Eric, if you had to leave our listeners with one story or one thought or something that you felt like was imperative that they know about you and what you do, what would you say that is?
Well, I think the most important thing about me is I'm there to help people. You know, we're Party Paranormal. We're a non-for-profit group. We don't charge anyone for our services. So if anyone has something going on in their business or their home, you know, they can always reach out to us, and we're more than happy to help them. That's one of my main purposes in life, is to help people.
Cool. I think that's great that you don't charge for services, because I feel like it's some people to like take advantage of other people's superstitions and like try to scam and that sort of thing. So
exactly.
I think right. That's really cool.
And we do know people that can help them. If it's not paranormal and they need mental help, you know, we have people that we can refer them to that would help them. And, you know, if it gets to the point where something really bad and it is paranormal, I mean, we have mediums, we have pastors that can come and bless the home.
Wherever in Florida, that sounds like something that would be really cool to come experience. Do you guys ever let people
where
come?
Where are you guys from? I don't think I learned that from you guys.
So we're in Atlanta. Awesome. Yeah, we're all Atlanta based.
Next time I go up there, you have to go with me.
Oh,
hell
yeah.
Yeah, we would be so into that. I guess, you know, something that like my skeptical mind is just grappling with is
I gotta take you ghost hunting.
Yeah, I would. Oh my gosh, I can't tell you how much I would love that. That would be so fun.
Well, if you guys ever come down, you gotta open it with an invitation.
Oh hell awesome. Yeah. That's yes. Awesome. Thank you. That sounds great. Saying, you know, there's this scientific process. Well, if you're getting this reading on a machine and you know it's not someone's cell phone setting it off, you know it's not the fridge setting it off, you know it's not another person or an animal, but what is it that leads you to the conclusion that, oh, it's a ghost? Because I think most scientists would say, well, we can't explain what is setting it off, but that also means that we can't definitively say whether it's a ghost. It could be something else that we just don't know.
Like, for example, like, there's a cemetery out in the middle of Florida, and it's, like, in a small town, and it's, like, out in the boondocks. There's nothing around it. For some of our meters to go off, for something to set that meters off out in the middle of nowhere, I mean, that's really a phenomenon. I mean, like, how do you prove that? Like, what set that off? And then, like, you'll ask questions, like, yes and no questions. Like, are you female? It lights up in an area where there's no possibility of any type of electromagnetic frequency. Or, you know, did you die here? And you know that someone had died here. Or you know of a spirit that died there. And they're, like, all confirming, like, your questions by lighting that meter. That, I mean, that's pretty hard to explain that. What that is, so if we can't explain it, you know, I'm calling it paranormal.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's where just like the difference kind of lies between people who maybe seen or heard about those sort of things, but are still skeptical. Is that I don't have an explanation for this, but like I don't know if that means that it's necessarily paranormal or not. It could be just that we don't know, but.
Right. Like, paranormal doesn't have to mean that, you know, it's a spirit or a ghost. Paranormal is something you can't explain.
Yeah.
The electronic voice phenomenon, I think that's the most concrete evidence you'll ever get. Because asking questions and you're recording and you play it back and you get something that's intelligent, especially when it relates to the history of a place, like, how do you debunk that? Like, I have a perfect example, like the lighthouse down in Miami that I was telling you about. That lighthouse, the history behind was... In the late 1800s, it was attacked by Seminole Indians during the Seminole Indian War. And the lighthouse keeper and his helper took refuge in the lighthouse to protect themselves from the Seminoles. And back then, the stairs in the lighthouse were made of wood, so they had to climb all the way to the top of the lighthouse to protect themselves. And the lighthouse keeper took that kerosene oil that lights the lighthouse up to the top. So the Seminoles were, you know, shooting at them and also trying to burn them out. The lighthouse keeper's helper, which his name was Aaron, he ended up dying. He got shot to death.
Oh, my God.
And what saved the lighthouse keeper was he threw that kerosene, and there was a huge explosion, and that scared away the Seminoles. But he was, like, shot up and burnt up, and what saved him was there was an old Navy schooner that was out in the ocean that heard the explosion and was able to, you know, come in and rescue him. But a few months ago, I was there at the lightkeeper's house, and I was asking questions, and clear as day, and I had that posted on my social media, is I got Aaron, and I got, after that, Aaron dive, and then I got get out.
Wow.
Awesome.
It's always awesome when you can get, like, EVPs that correlate to the history that actually happened there.
Yeah. Awesome. I would be so scared if I was there and that happened.
So, Eric, what is your social media for our listeners to go check out some of these recordings? Because as a skeptic, I think everyone should check out the evidence and listen to it for themselves. Definitely.
Right. And if they're listening and they're from South Florida, they need to come to one of our events and experience it for themselves. On my social media, my name is Ghost Hunter of South FLA, like Florida. And that's my same name on Instagram, Facebook, and on YouTube.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Eric.
Oh, most definitely. And you guys have to make a trip down here so you can go ghost hunting with us.
Heck, 100%. Yeah.
Yes, let it. Well, I'll be very scared. But yeah. I won't wear my headphones this time, I promise.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be going up to Atlanta sometime soon and finding a place to investigate. So you should come with me.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Please let us know when you come to Atlanta. We'd love that. Awesome. Thanks so much, Eric.
All right, guys. So you just heard Eric. He was kind enough to come on and share some information with us about what it is to be a paranormal investigator, what that life looks like, and the kind of equipment that he uses. So JJ, Kat, what did you guys think about the information that he shared with us?
Well, is anyone else thinking Ghostbusters this whole time? I'm just like picturing these guys in suits and like all their equipment. I don't know. It's a lot.
Since we started this podcast, I've investigated in some of these paranormal investigators. Uh-huh. And you do see a trend of kind of how they do things, right? Like the big thing he was describing was the audio. Because mm-hmm. for them, what do they want? They want proof, right? That there's something supernatural there. And then if they can lend us a tape of some ghost saying, "Eric, get out," hey, there's your proof. Unfortunately for us, as just a observer, it's hard for us to really understand how that audio got into that recorder.
Right. Yeah. Well, okay. And two things. Because he sounds like a super, you know, straightforward, you know, they do this for free. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like they're not, like, getting anything out of it.
Yeah, and all of his videos and pictures, there's tons of people there. So, like, this is happening real time. What I haven't seen is, like, a video of the EVP working without the words on the screen, because the second I read the words, of course I'm going to think that's what the audio is
hearing. Yes.
So I'd rather hear the audio first and see if I can interpret what it's saying before I read.
Like some confirmation bias, maybe.
The subtitles on movies help you all the time with what the audio is doing.
And a lot of those, like, Ghost Hunter shows, they use that same kind of technique, and they're always like, "Oh, did you hear that? Barbie, he clearly said out." And I'm just like, whenever I'm watching those shows, I'm like, "He did? Like, what? I didn't hear that. I heard like a random noise." And I think, you know, if you're really invested in trying to find evidence of a ghost, then I think you might be more prone to interpret a random noise as a ghost. And I think I'm still very firmly in the skeptical camp, big surprise. I think when he says that they are using like a scientific method to investigate ghosts, that a lot of scientists would really argue with their understanding of scientific method. You know, if you have evidence for something that you can't explain, that doesn't mean you jump to a conclusion that it's a ghost. There's a lot of things that we can't explain. And it doesn't, not to say that they're not ghosts, maybe it's a possibility. There's so many possibilities of things that it could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hard one to digest. I think that's why it's so interesting to have these people on to hear their process. We don't do this.
There's a huge, huge paranormal world out there and following. And I think it's really, really interesting.
And I think, you know, as skeptical as I am, I don't know how, if I was out in the field with him and there was, you know, listening to these playbacks, I might have a totally different opinion. And I would love to go on a ghost hunt with him sometime. I think that would be awesome to see it in person. See if it changes my perspective on it. But, you know, I think it's ultimately a good thing what they're trying to do. I think that he and his team seem to be sincere about it and that, you know, they're in it for good motivation. So
I liked hearing that there's like a process before they just jump into it saying that it's a ghost.
But I was very surprised when he said that of all the cases that they've done, was it all of them or
all of
the home ones?
Because they do a lot of like historical places.
The home ones, they said they could confirm a ghost, which just like the success rate of that sounds suspicious to me as, I guess, a skeptic and a pessimist. It sounds suspicious, but
yeah,
I think selling yourself there.
I think what has to happen, we have to go on a ghost hunt.
Yes.
I think that's the next step.
And
then we're going to have to experience it for ourselves and make our own determination.
For sure.
It's too much to take in from a phone call to make a determination that grand. I mean, this is something that these people are doing all the
time.
We're novices. That's what makes this so much fun. You know, we're really looking at this from the outside and trying to take big scoops of information. And
with literally no experience.
Yeah.
I have to say, when we started this podcast, I was more of a believer than I am now. Not because of this episode, but I feel like I am more skeptic now.
Oh, interesting.
Than I used to be.
With some things, I could say the same for myself, but as far as people seeing ghosts and having their personal stories, it's made me more of a believer. But I also have my own story that I didn't give much credit to, and it's made me give more credit to it. Just like anything in life. Just like anything in life, when you meet other people with similar experiences, it tends to make you a little more likely or more brave to trust yourself with your experience.
Yeah. I would say this podcast experience as a whole has made me more agnostic. I was very much, of course, ghosts aren't real before starting this. And now after hearing so many stories of, you know, most of the guests are our friends and people that we respect. and trust. And so after hearing all these stories, it's hard to be so sure of my skepticism. So I'm ghost agnostic, how I would say.
It's a big world out there. It's got to be a little spooky, right?
Sure.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's a wrap on this episode, getting to know Eric a little bit. And we appreciate him coming on and sharing his information. I'm Noah Daniels.
And I'm JJ Crable.
And I'm Kat.
What's up, guys? It's Noah Daniels with the Real Hauntings Podcast. We have a fun announcement for you guys.
Yeah, because it's October and Halloween is right around the corner, and it's a very spooky season.
Spooky.
We thought we'd bring you a little bonus episode.
That's right.
All right, guys. So we're going to actually drop a bonus episode on Halloween. This episode will be different than our normal episodes. We're not going to have a guest on who's going to tell their personal real ghost story. We're going to share some of our favorite ghost stories throughout the time of time.
Ghost stories we didn't experience, but we heard about them or read them.
And mine's going to be the scariest.
Kat has promised something truly out of this world.
Dun, dun, dun.
You be the judge. Is it real? Is it not real?
Halloween, morning, listen, download, rate, subscribe.
Obey.
Yeah!